service. Everyone had a good afternoon and maybe had a little rest time this afternoon. I got about an hour nap and did a little reading this afternoon. Looking forward to our time together tonight. Good to see you folks this morning. And boy, we had a good time at the breakfast on Saturday. I've already had a couple guys ask. We know we need to do it more often. And then somebody wanted to do it every Tuesday. And I thought, I don't know about every Tuesday. Says my scales will be Alan ouch a lot if we do that every Tuesday. But we definitely get on the schedule on a more regular basis. Really enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the meal and discussion around the table. Good to see folks, a good turnout. All right, we're glad you're here this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get started with our evening service. Looking forward to our time together. Father, we do love you and thank you so much for the blessing and joy of service and fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that for our church family, I pray your blessings upon them. Be with those who are not able to be with us tonight, those who are still traveling. I pray that you would bless them, Lord, and keep them safe. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time together tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified as we lift our voices in praise unto you. And Lord, help us to be challenged from the word to dig into the scriptures and study the word. And Lord, again, we just thank you so much for your provisions. In Jesus' name, amen. And ask the Lord's blessings on our offering tonight.
Thank you so much for your grace.
Yes.
For the love shown toward us, Father. We thank you for this great opportunity and privilege we have of giving back a portion of what you've given to us this week, Father, for the furtherance of the ministries here at Harvest Baptist Church of Goodyear, Father, and all the missionaries that we support throughout the world. And Father, we do count it a joy, a privilege. And Father, we just we want you to be blessed. And Father, we ask your blessing upon this offering, upon each giver. And the gift, Father, and just use it for your glory now in Jesus' precious name.
Thank you, ladies. All right, we have our handouts tonight. If you notice, you also have an insert to go with that handout. And as remember, it is this is more of a survey. It will not be in depth, though maybe at a later date. But hopefully that encourage you to dig into study. Pre-tribulation is the official position of the church, and also of good, smart Bible educators. And those who study their Bible also know the pre-tribulation. And we'll talk about some of the other views in a few moments. But before I forget, I'd like to start kind of another tradition, so to say. We don't have that many Fifth Sundays in a year. We have a handful of them. I really enjoyed our New Year's Eve. We had some other men speak. So I know it's only 2 weeks. But we can start maybe having a couple guys, if you'd like to speak when we have our Singspiration, take about 10 or 15 minutes each. We'll talk beforehand and help you out in any way you need it. But if you'd like to be involved in that, let me know. I will prepare in the event. The folks aren't sure yet, but I have one thing that I've enjoyed on the morning coffee fellowships on Tuesday. We've got some men that are very capable of preparing and discussing and sharing. So if you'd like to be a part, maybe two guys can take about 12, 15 minutes on our evening of our Singspiration, because we also have testimonies and songs that we sing, and that will go nicely together. Also, pray for the Hulls as they've made their way back from Sri Lanka. They're down in Florida. They'll be making their way over to Texas, but they're going to need a place to rent when they get to Alaska at the end of March. So you'd be praying for them. They're looking already, and they're worried about the high prices and what it's going to cost. They've lived in a parsonage for many years, and then now they're in the camper when they travel to help churches. And then also, so you pray for them in that. Then also, bar no major emergencies with my parents or Michelle's parents, our plan is to go see Michelle's mom and dad in May, and while they're there, we're going to cruise over and watch Logan's graduation from basic training. So that kind of falls in place. It's a good time and not too far apart. And then when he finishes there, he'll be going to the AIT, which is about 45 minutes to an hour away from Michelle's mom and dad. So we'll do that in May, and then in October, we'll go down and see my mom and dad in Tennessee. Again, this is bar no major emergency, something come up where I feel like I need to go. And then the Lord willing, Brother Hull and Miss Denise will be with us both in May and in October. And so pray for them as well as for that as they'll prepare. Pray about preaching and teaching during that time, but also that apartment. I know they're looking for a place big enough to bigger than their camper, but nothing too big unless they decide to buy at a later date because they're concerned about the prices. So please keep them in prayer. All right, do you really know what you believe about the millennium? And you should have a little graph and chart in there. I'll get to that later, put a lot of details, but I wanted you to have that to take with you. We'll also have it on the screen a little later. You can read that. It'll give you some more opportunity to study and to dig as you study the word about the return of Christ. So we'll begin in Isaiah chapter 65. We'll get to that little handout a little bit later, and we'll get closer to the first point after the introduction. Isaiah chapter 65, we'll begin reading verse number 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that have not filled his days. For the child shall die at 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They that shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullocks, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you, and once again, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity. Thank you for the joy and fellowship. And Lord, we thank you for that you'll bless our time together tonight. Give me wisdom, give me clarity of speech and mind. And Lord, help us to glean from the scripture, but also help us to rejoice in the knowing what is coming. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I know I have a couple stinkers out there before I get back to the outline tonight, and Daryl comes to mind first, but I know we have a couple stinkers out there. And so my cousin, Dorcas, and you've heard me teach her Dorcas. We always called her Cookie growing up. Her and her husband, Denver, are going to be flying in on Thursday, so we're going to spend some time with them. They've come just to relax, to thaw out from the cold winter there they've had this past year in Tennessee. But if you want to have a little fun from Dorcas and you want to give her a hard time, I've already instructed her, which I shouldn't have, that you can't ask any stories. But since I'm going to tell you this, I'm sure she's going to unload on me. But when I was little and I used to ride my little tricycle, she used to whack my fingers with a stick. So if you want to give her a hard time about that, let her know that I've noticed how our pastor's knuckles sometimes kind of swell in the winter. Does that have anything to do with a tricycle and a stick? I'm sure she will give a look and she will holler, Matt Jr. And she calls me by my first name or the name I was called growing up. They know me as Mac when she's mad at me. But when she's around church people, she usually calls me pastor or preacher. But she will not call me that if you say that at the church. But we're looking forward to visiting with them in Denver. Denver's a retired computer engineer. And Dorcas was a homemaker growing up, homeschooled, and did the whole co-op with homeschooling in her community, very much involved with that. And good folks, you'll enjoy them, and I'm sure they'll enjoy our church. All right, back to our study tonight. The millennial kingdom is the third-year reign of Christ here on earth. It will start after the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation period and will last until the final judgment before the eternal age begins. Christ will set up his kingdom on earth, Jerusalem, and it will be his capital, and we will reign upon the earth for 1,000 years. And this period is known as the millennium, and it will be an era of peace and happiness. What a joy to know there will be peace and happiness on the earth one day. Nothing like we see today. Nature will be entirely different because the lion will lie down with the lamb. Men will live to be very old. It will be a time, I'm assuming women will too. It will be a time of great prosperity, and there will be no wars. No wars, no conflicts. Although sin will not be entirely absent, it will be punished immediately and severely when it occurs. Nothing like it is today. There will be no going in the front door and then going out the back. It will be dealt with. The millennium kingdom is going to be a unique time on earth. So number one tonight, and we'll read Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, defining the millennium, defining the millennium. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So here's a question for this section that we hope to answer. What are some of the ideas that you have heard concerning the 1,000-year reign of Christ and what that term means? So as you see here with the handout, there are three typical views when it comes to the aspect of the return of Christ, the prophetic views. There's premillennial, there is postmillennial, and there's all millennial. And if you'll notice there on this chart, the white arrows correspond to the biblical view, And then we have the gray arrows, which represent an incorrect view, a misinterpretation of what the Bible teaches. And we see here the millennial turn where Christ comes for the church. And we see the white arrow, then we see the rapture, of course, the pre-tribulation. Then we have the pre-tribulation, we see the Christ returning or the second coming with the church, and then the millennial reign, and then the judgment. And of course, and we'll get to some of these other views, just a brief synopsis too for some of these. But first, the pre-millennialism teaches that Christ Jesus will personally return to the earth to establish a literal earthly one thousand year kingdom, just as the Old Testament and the New Testament teaches. Jesus will personally return to earth prior to the beginning of the thousand year reign. Amillennialism teaches that the kingdom reign of Christ is only a spiritual rule of Christ over the hearts of his people. There is believed to be no literal future kingdom which will take place on earth. It's so sad when people read the Bible, they try to read into or change and don't read it and take it as the Bible says, and that's why sometimes we come up with different views. And then we have the post-millennialism, and to me at times can be confusing because with the post-tribulation view, the church is raptured only to make a U-turn and come back with Jesus in the second coming. And again, I don't see that clearly taught in Scripture. But it teaches that Christ will establish his kingdom on earth through the church. Things will get better and better until Christ returns to rule over an already established kingdom. In other words, the church will exist through the millennium and that it will result in a worldwide conversion before Christ returns. But, letter B, there is one logical view. And of the three main positions, the one that makes the most consistent sense is the premillennial view. And I use the word consistent because premillennialism is the only view that takes the Bible at face value. Now, a quote I believe I included in there from Bible.org says, "Only the premillennial return of Christ and the teachings associated with it provide a literal interpretation of Scripture." In other words, if one is free to explain away everything in Scripture by spiritualization, then it's not important what theory is followed. But if one is trying to interpret the Bible literally, trying to take it just the way it is written and to believe what it says, he will be led to a firm belief that premillennial return of Christ is the biblical position. Revelations chapter 20, and we've read that, we'll read that once more in verse number 4. The Bible says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So taking the word of God as it is, there can be no other conclusion that the one who will reign must come before he begins his reign. So there we see the defining of millennium. Now let's look at understanding the millennium, and not that you're going to understand it fully before you leave. If I'm going to be honest, there's sometimes some things I'm not sure of, or I have to look again or to remind myself what the Scriptures say. Again, verses 1 through 5, we've read that. There are many aspects looking at understanding. There are many aspects about the millennium that are worthy of our consideration. It is true that animals will become peaceful, or the lion and the lamb would not be able to lie down together. Lifespans will increase and wars will end. There is a lot of exciting things when we think about the millennium reign with the return of Christ, but with all that's going on in our world today, it's a wonderful thing to think about peace, to think about no wars, to think about no conflicts. And not only is there peace in the world, but there's peace among Christians, amen? There will be some geographical changes in Israel and many other unique things that will take place. But for the sake of time, we're only going to examine just three of them tonight. The first one, letter A, Christ is ruling on earth. Isn't it so sad today that even within the life of the Christian, there are times where they don't allow the Lord to rule in their life? One day it's going to happen. Does it make any difference? He is going to rule, and our world may see things differently, but the bottom line is, for believers, he should be ruling in our hearts, and that means submission unto him. When we hear the preaching, when we study the Word of God, when we're spending time in prayer, when conviction comes, that we respond, because he does rule and reign in our life. Christ is ruling. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepresses for the fierceness, wrath of Almighty God. So here in context, this verse deals with Jesus' judgment against the wicked at the end of the tribulation period. First, this takes place before the millennium. And then second, it declares that Jesus will be personally ruling on the earth during the millennium. So Christ is ruling on earth. And the next letter B, believers are ruling with Christ. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And on such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this will include four different groups of believers. Though different, they shall have one thing in common, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The first will be Old Testament saints who died in the Lord prior to death and burial and their resurrection. So that will be one of the groups, the four different groups of believers. And then there will be church age saints who die in the Lord prior to the rapture, or will be caught up as part of the rapture. Now, I can't help but to think about the tribulation, about the millennium and on peace on earth, and again, in the aspect of knowing that we will be reigning and ruling with our Savior. The third, there will be tribulation saints who die as martyrs' death for their faith, who will also be part of the groups of believers. And then fourthly, not only the Old Testament saints, the church age saints, the tribulation saints, but there will be tribulation saints who live through that period and enter the millennium in a physical body. So here we see Christ ruling in the earth, believers ruling with Christ, and then thirdly, sinners will need to know Christ. We'll need to know Christ. And let me back up just a moment. Believers are ruling with Christ. Let me challenge you, and I know from the testimony of most of you here this morning, and have an opportunity to talk with you guys around the table as we share other things of the Lord. Let me encourage you and remind you guys and gals and all of us here tonight. There's one thing to say I'm a believer. There's one thing to say I follow Christ. But let's make sure that we're living that godly example when we have opportunity to talk about the return of Christ. We have an opportunity to say what we feel that the biblical view is, and that during the millennial reign, saying, you know, there's one thing good about it. I have already begun to rehearse in the practice of the Lord reigning, because he reigns in my life. That will be not so much new for me, but it will be for others possibly. But let me ask again, are we allowing him to rule and reign in our life? Sometimes that can be very difficult. No one likes to be told what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And those teenagers that felt that way and went off to basic training found something different. Some of us young of us as well that made that decision years ago. But reigning and allowing him to reign in our lives. And then letter C, again, sinners will need to know Christ, or Revelation chapter 20 and verses 7 through 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in four quarters of the earth. And by the way, he has had lots of practice with his deceiving as well. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Stop here, I'll get back to you in a moment. Every time I read this, I still realize that that many people that still are going to reject Christ as the sands of the sea. To me, it's just knowing what the Lord has done in my life, knowing what the Lord has done in many of your life that we've sat and we've fellowshiped and talked about the goodness of God, to think there's still that many people in this world, in this earth, that will rise up and side with that beast. So back here to what I'm reading as in verse number 8, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of the heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false day and night forever. Another joyous day when that take place. Sadness of how many will go against the Lord, but in knowing that he will be bound. Those who enter the millennial kingdom in a physical body will enter into a normal physical relationship of marriage and will bring children into the world. While their parents are saved, each child will be responsible to trust Christ personally. We live in a time today where there are many who really believe and practice a covenant theology, where they really believe if dad gets in, the wife and kids will get in too as well. Some others that believe that as well, but it's not what the Bible teaches. I'm going to end up being a little shorter than I thought I would be tonight. Conclusion. The same thing is true today, as I mentioned, about needing to know Christ. Sinners will need to know Christ. If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, then you need to understand this. And again, if you have opportunity to share your faith, to talk with a friend or a neighbor, and you talk about spiritual things, again, the Bible being that big seller here in 2025, the end of in 2026. People today like charts. People looking at things. This is a timeline. This is what the Bible says will take place. But just like today, people will need to come to Christ the same way. The rapture could take place tonight. If you are not saved during the tribulation, you will not enter the millennial kingdom. So the only thing that makes sense is for you to repent of your sin and know Christ now. What an opportunity. I hope this diagram, Brother Smith helped me with the diagram. Brother John Cherry did some research for me as well in helping me put some things together. I hope it's clear in this as chart and the way it was written up. But dear friends, Christ is returning. And though other people may have different views, let me put it this way. If you happen to have a different view in post or even a mid-trib or even the aspect of all millennial, just put that aside. There's one thing that we need to understand when the Bible is very clear on. You only go through the Lord Jesus Christ, period. The only way to the Father is through the Son. So I hope this whets your appetite enough to continue not only to study and get excited about the return of our Christ, of our Savior, the millennial reign, but also the aspect of taking the opportunity and be reminded that we are to take every opportunity we can during a time where people are somewhat seeking a truth. And now I know I've given this example before, but it'll fit in here once again. If you have a short memory, you wasn't here when I told it. But we live in a time in the world today, I think, where people really are seeking the truth. Or they're seeking for something to fill a void that they have in their life. And often, some folks were just never brought up in church. Others I've talked to that says they were brought up in church, but it's been many years and I've kind of drifted, and I'm working to make my way back. But the best way I know how to describe that aspect of looking for something but not knowing what it really is, here's the best example that I've come up with the Lord gave me. It's one of those things the Lord just gave me. It was some years ago, but it was one of those examples. There's been times in our marriage, and gentlemen, I'm sure you will agree with this. Ladies, you will say, yes, that's my man. Is that the wife has went to the grocery store. The car was unloaded. The cupboards are full. The refrigerator has meat that's thawed out that can be cooked. And there's meat in the freezer. You're just blessed with everything that you need. And the husband walks in the kitchen. I'm guilty. Walks in the kitchen and starts opening cabinets and looking through the cabinets. And my wife will say, what are you looking for? I'm hungry and I just can't find anything. It's not that I can't find anything. I can't find anything that I think I want. And right now, we live in a generation where a lot of people don't know what it is they want, but they're seeking for something. And we have that truth from the Word of God that can fill that void of them wondering what it is. I want something, but I don't know what it is. And then if I decide I want the nacho chips, I can't decide if I want green or red salsa to go with it. I can't decide if I want, I just don't know fully what I want. And some young people out there have an idea of what they think they want or think what it might be like. But the best answer to those things is, no matter what you think, no matter what you think you want or believe, let's look at what the Bible has to say. I can take a shortcut and I can show you with the graph what the Bible says, and we can do a Bible study later. Or you can take this graph and write some of the scriptures that go with it if you have a chance to talk to someone and have a conversation. But he is coming again, and we must be ready. And I'll do all we can to share others so that they too can be ready for the return of Christ. And oh, how I'm looking toward that day where there will be no more wars, there will be peace, and there will be a discipline and correction when things go awry. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And again, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for the promise of the Word of God, Father, that you will return. Old Satan, old Slewfoot, will be bound and cast into the lake of fire. But until then, Father, help us to live our life out loud, in full color, visually seen and clearly seen by others who are seeking the truth, that we might be able to share our faith and they'll be ready to listen because they've watched our life and our testimony lived what we say that we believe. Father, again, thank you for who you are, for sending your Son, and knowing that we are secure in you. Now, Father, bless our time of fellowship. May you be uplifted and glorified in our conversation. May we glorify you through the week. And Lord, help us to be a blessing and encouragement to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, don't forget to grab a flyer for our Easter invitation. Give them to your friends. Leave them at restaurants in place of those cards that you've been using. And let's pray the Lord will give us a good day. Pray again also that our choir stays healthy and fit as well. God bless you. As always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you, please do not hesitate to ask. Yes, ma'am. No, because you're not even going to make it because you just do a U-turn and come right back. That's, again, so the postmillennial view, you get robbed of the blessing of that. Yeah. So that's why it's good to study the scriptures. Good to ask questions. Bible.org is a pretty good website. I think I've referred to others as well. Got questions has been pretty good. So far, I haven't seen anything that I disagreed with. First time I do, I'll let you know. And there's some good commentaries. Again, I've really been praying about maybe next year, because it takes some planning if we can't do it late this year. I would love to have once in a while have a prophecy conference. I think Brother Fagali would be great. I'm going to be talking with him again. He has agreed to come. Some of you has read a book that was floating around from Brother Edgar Fagali. He's from Lebanon. He's a tremendous Bible preacher. He knows the Middle East. He knows the culture. And he's going to be with us sometime later this year, then maybe next year. And I'm going to talk to him about a prophecy conference as well. I'm not gifted in that area. I don't know it all, but I've seen some of these guys stand up and preach, and it's just right there. They have studied it, and they have that ability to absorb it and to memorize it and to know the proper order. And when I was in Bible college, we rotated every other year. We have missions conference, which was a big conference in the year, and Bible conference. And the next year was missions conference and prophecy conference. And we kind of rotated them through the years and had different speakers. Bible college student, I always enjoyed the presentation. Sometimes a lot of it was kind of a repeat in some areas, but it also took the current events that were taking place at the time. And now with the current, and by the way, he will be with us live on the 29th for a prophecy update this month in 2 weeks. So look forward to that as well. And so you continue to pray for him. He says, Pastor, it's changing every day. It's like I'm preparing, I'm getting ready ahead of time, and I watch the news, I've got to go back and I need to make some adjustments and some changes. So I says, what? And so if the Lord comes back, and says, I guess I won't give the update. But if he doesn't come back, he says, I hope nothing big happens the Saturday or the Sunday morning while I'm on my way in. I know last week it did. But then again, appreciate you folks. Again, God loves you, preacher loves you. If I can be helped in any way, please don't hesitate to ask, and pray that Brother Smith stays healthy as well. It was good to see him Saturday as well. He's chomping at the bit, looking forward to the 29th. God bless you. You're dismissed.